Okay, we'll call the work session to order at 6:03. So, let's start with, I gotta get out my... So, the commercial solar development.
So, I got an email chain here I'll give you. This is between myself and Tim Fortesky, the planning board attorney. So, we have a little bit of a conflict that Mr. Fortesky said that I should bring to the town board and see how we should resolve. So, the current town code, under their industrial zone, states that everything is allowed except the items listed below. The items listed below do not include solar. Our solar code, which indicates by the industrial zoning, solar would be allowed on an industrial site. Our solar code is a little vague in that it says commercial solar facilities may be approved in agricultural and AR40 zones with the following conditions, but it doesn't mention anything about industrial. So that's where the quandary is. Under the industrial code, it would be allowed. Under the solar code, it doesn't say that it's not allowed. It just says that they may be permitted on agricultural and AR40 zones. It doesn't mention anything about industrial sites. And I think that if the planning board, there's two applications coming. One is for the Radisson industrial site, which would be on the east side of McLean Drive that backs up to the Town Center apartments for a solar facility. And the other one is on the west side of 60 Road, the southwest corner of the intersection of 60 Road and West Entry Road and Henkel Boulevard, that industrial site there. So I kind of feel that if we don't clean this up and the planning board doesn't approve those projects, I think it could be challenged within Article 78. I think the changes to the local solar law, if you want to allow solar facilities in industrial zones and industrial use PUD sites, would simply be that commercial solar facilities shall be allowed in industrial zones, PUD industrial sites, agricultural, and AR40 sites with the following conditions. And I don't want to see us be in a position where we get challenged on something.
Do we have something before us right now?
Well, no. There's no application has been made.
Okay, but because I'm getting them, I'm getting stuff like every other day now from people looking to do solar. I mean, they must think that Lysander is going to be just one big solar farm.
Well, really? At this stage of the game, we do not have a formal application. We can do one of two things. We can. And both applicants or both potential projects are in a holding pattern to get some clarification on this before they invest any money and time into to further research on the sites.
Wouldn't this be a good topic to discuss when in the club committee? I mean, wouldn't this be something? Where you can address this, but also address where do we want that stuff?
Absolutely. The question before us now is we have projects that any day could make an application. And right now, the way our law is written, if the planning board says, no, you can't have it in an industrial site, I don't know if it's defendable.
What about if we did a moratorium?
Well, you could. That's certainly an option. I think, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, do you have to do a public hearing to do the moratorium?
I think you have to have
a public hearing. So we could set a resolution to have a moratorium for commercial solar if you want it.
Well, I kind of agree with Bob. I mean, I'm confused. Everything you just said is confusing me. And why not allow ourselves some time to think about that? And you know, as far as I'm concerned, we did this once before, like 6 or 7 years ago. We did a moratorium while the club was being...
Yep.
What was it? We did something. We had a moratorium for a good 6 months, maybe even longer.
Yep.
I think. Go ahead, Jack.
Go ahead.
I just want to give the board a little background. When we did the solar law, I actually drafted that. I did the first draft.
So it's your problem. It's your fault that we have this problem. I wanted to be able to blame somebody.
And the background is this. When we wrote it, we were advised that by stating it the way Al read it to you, that solar commercial farms will be allowed in zones A and AR. That meant anything not named, they're excluded from. There's two ways you write a law. You either say where something can be, or you say where it can't be. We said where it could be, and it was just those two zones. And the discussion at that time with the board, because all I did was draft, and then they took over with their, you know what. And they argued that they wanted to preserve the industrial zones for the opportunity to put businesses in that could create employment in the town, etc. They didn't want solar farms going in. That was the discussion back then.
And that makes sense to me. I mean, just hearing it for the first time, that makes a lot of sense.
The background.
And I am of no opinion on this, right or wrong. This is for you guys to decide. And if that's the direction you want to go, we simply change the verbiage in section 320.86.2 and say solar farms and solar power plants. Right now it reads solar farms and solar power plants shall be permitted in agricultural and AR40 districts. We changed that. The incentive was a late area. So you would just change it to solar farms and solar power plants shall only be permitted in agricultural and AR40 districts. The whole thing goes away.
I don't know that I have enough information to be able to say that that's a good idea or not.
I mean,
it sounds like a good idea, but without, you know, really looking at it a little bit, I'd like to have a little bit more discussion about it before I did that.
Parsing that sentence.
For itself, we would go by the solar law, and if they were to come in, we would probably feel compelled that we couldn't approve it.
In an industrial zone. Because it's written that way.
But then if you read the industrial code.
Well, here's my question, Tony. My question is, okay, the industrial code was on there a long time ago, before solar was even in them. That's probably why it was never mentioned. You come up with a solar law that you add to your town code, and I think it supersedes what's in the town code as it applies, just like incentive zoning supersedes normal zoning laws. I think the solar code prevails over the town code.
Because it's the most recent.
But I'm not a lawyer.
I
don't know if that's necessarily true. The fact that if you come up with something new, theoretically, you're supposed to look at your code and say, okay, we got to fit this in all these different places. I can make the argument and say, solar, you knew about this. You never agreed or decided to include it in what you already had on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you intended not to include it. That's the argument on the other side.
Right.
I don't think it automatically happens. Well, because it didn't exist, you know, that's my opinion. And obviously the zone, the industrial zone for the most part, is just what Jack said before. You're looking to bring in business and jobs. Solar doesn't provide any jobs.
Right.
You know, once they built it,
right,
that's it. You're not going to have anybody working there.
Yeah.
So, and it takes up a lot of space. But that is, as he pointed out, that's a call for the board.
I mean, you're really back to the point that Al raised and you raised, Bob. At this point in time, given what we know, and given the fact that this, what is this, Al, the fifth or sixth interested party? We have two approved already that are in different stages of startup.
Oh, they're sending me stuff. They're sending me emails.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, well, been, I'm telling you, I get a lot of emails.
Well, the point is, I think the board at this point has to say, all right, this is something maybe we need to take a fresh look at and make it clear a decision about industrial zone. Because once you get out of an industrial zone, whether it's in a PUD or industrial zone, the only thing you have is our different zones, and the only ones that could contain a commercial solar farm are ag and AR-40. So that part of it's pretty well set. It's just, you know, I would argue, Al, not argue, but I would say, well, the way it was written, you're right.
Let me read you.
The way it was written, you're right. You didn't say they were excluded, so solar farms could be in there. Yeah.
So right now, our industrial code section 320-20 or 39 C or B states, uses permitted upon issuance of a special permit and controlled site review are as follows. All uses except those in subsection C below. Subsection C includes residential, operation of stockyards, slaughterhouses, and rendering plants, production of raw materials from chemicals, cement, explosives, paint, rubber, soap, starch, and byproducts of coal, coke, petroleum, and natural gas, and reduction, refining, smelting of alloy metals or metal ores, distillation of wood or bones, or the reduction of processing of wood, pulp, and fiber. That's it. Those are the only, so basically you can't have a smelter, or you can't have a slaughterhouse, you can't have residential, and you can't have chemical production.
In the industrial.
And those are the only things that are permitted. Everything else, by the way that reads,
that are prohibitive. They're the only things that are prohibitive.
Everything else can be considered and can be approved.
Can be considered, yep.
Now, this just came up 10 minutes ago. I mean, I think that, you know, the industrial zone, like Tony just said, you know, I think that's for, to create jobs, and that's what you want it for. I mean, I wasn't part of any of that discussion in the past, but...
Well, the only other thing you can do, if you want to take the time, if you're concerned about what's out there waiting in the bushes, is to do a moratorium so we can discuss it further.
Would that allow us to
stop everything?
Stop everything and change and look into it and then amend that?
Yep.
So do we do the moratorium on all solar development at this time? Because I know that's something we wanted to look at with the comprehensive land use plan update.
I would.
Or do we just do a moratorium for solar application in an industrial and PUD industrial sites?
How would that affect us with the Melvin Farms thing that we got going?
It would hurt us.
I mean, I think that's a good project. So I don't want to hurt projects that they've invested some time, we've invested time, so and that thing's already in the works.
But it's in very early stages.
But that's a big part of, see, the thing with that is the school district is under the gun to do something with their septic system. This would allow, if this were to go through, if we said we were going to move forward with this would allow the school district to tap into that sewer system, pump station, and at the tune of $1 million plus, in the favor of the school district, they would save.
Yeah.
It was like $1.4 million or something.
Yeah,
it was a substantial amount.
It's a big number.
And not only that, I mean, there's some other benefits, but that alone was
so,
a substantial amount.
But do we have to put a moratorium on all solar? Because that's not industrial.
You could do a moratorium on...
Only on industrial.
Industrial and PUD industrial sites.
Right, so that would not affect Melbourne
Right.
Farms.
It would not. But that's
no, but what Al just said, a conversation came up, we ought to look at solar in general. Can't we say that any project that has already opened the door, so to speak, like Melbourne, would not be part of the moratorium?
Well, I have to be a file... Well...
They have.
There's gotta be an application.
They don't have an application.
No, so they're in the process.
You have raised two issues here. There's two questions. The top level is, what is the board's comfort with the idea of commercial solar farms in Lysander, period, wherever they are? Underneath that is this question, which is, what would we like to do with industrial zones with regard to that? Number two.
Yeah, with the solar, I can tell you, I mean,
before you get to the second.
We're starting to get people coming into our town that want to put these solar farms in. You know, and because they're going to make a profit on it, and then they're going to go home to wherever they live. So we got to, you know, from my perspective, I think the amount that we are starting, that I'm starting to see is almost, it's concerning to me. I mean, I don't want, 5,000 solar farms in the town of Lysander. I don't think any of the residents do. I just don't think that's good for anybody.
Well, how do we avoid hurting the Melvin project? They haven't made an application yet. How close are they to doing an application?
By what Al originally suggested.
On the industrial.
Just focus on the industrial, put a moratorium on it, and clean that part of it up.
But it
still leaves your big question that you two are talking about.
I want to address the big question, so I'm not playing devil's advocate. So how do we do that? Can we make a commitment to ourselves? We'll wrap this up in 2 months. That would not hurt Melvin, probably. I don't think.
If we're going to have it as part of the comprehensive land use plan update, 2 months is not.
Right. We would do
but I don't think that we have a problem with that anyway, because they have to come to us. Anybody that's looking to.
That's going to take some time.
Right. Put
that together.
But the industrial thing, if we put a moratorium, and I'm asking the question, if we put a moratorium on that right now, it would give us time to address that specific issue. And because just off the top, you know, just thinking about it in these 10 minutes, it doesn't sound like a good idea. It just to have solar farms in an industrial area when we have limited industrial areas already allocated.
like I say, you know, from a financial standpoint, they don't do anything for
nothing. Nothing.
They take up a lot of space. The other thing is that I suppose we need to look at is something from National Grid, because the one that we're working on now, I mentioned just before the meeting, they started off with 7 megawatts.
5 megawatts, and down to 3.5.
Niagara Motor. I say Niagara Motor, that's because I'm old. National Grid, cut them down.
And I said, with it too. right.
They said, we cut them in half. So you can have a lot of people want to put solar, but if they can't sell the power to National Grid.
Most of the projects that they're going to bring, well, Al might disagree with me, but my impression is most of the projects they're coming at us with, and we've seen a number of them, you know, the success rate is going to be not that great.
So my understanding of these projects that we're seeing right now, it's all investment speculation. Yeah. So what they're doing, you've got these investors that are coming out. They're executing a lease, they're getting the site plan approvals, they're getting all the approvals, and then they're selling the project to investors. That's what they're doing. So the idea that every one of these projects that gets funded or gets approved is ever going to get built, I don't see it happening. I don't. I just think that this is a lot of savvy guys that are trying to make a buck by getting through the approval process and then selling the project.
They're coming in hot and heavy, though.
Because I think there's a lot of money to be made for these guys that get the projects approved and then sell them. So. Yeah.
And then looking at that map out, just for my benefit, basically, theoretically, except for where a house exists, all of that green could be a solar farm.
Yes, if the developer was willing to pay for the upgrade to the power system and the substations to handle the load generated.
I know what I just said is unrealistic, but I guess that's why I'm harping on it. I'd like to look at the big picture, but I don't want to upset the Melvin project.
So
is there any way of doing both?
Well, they would have to have a letter of intent to us first, right? And that's going to take some time.
It is. There is
so
a process.
Melvin, they're close. They're close. I mean, they're.
I just reviewed, so just had a conference call with them on Tuesday and went over the benefits, community benefits that they're going to include in the letter of intent.
So they're in close, how, timeframe wise?
I would say that we'll have a draft letter of intent the next month, if not sooner.
When is it, next month?
Within the next month, I would say that we'll have a draft letter of intent for review.
We met with them a few weeks ago.
We have to wait for them to, can we just do it next month, the next board meeting?
Well, we could do, the industrial zone right now.
Right.
That won't affect that.
Right.
And then.
Once they submit it, then we can.
Once they submit it.
The big thing, Bob, is as far as you're concerned with the bit, all of the green area, is they need to be relatively close to a substation. And out on the west side of town, those are far and few between. To make them an economically viable project, if they have to install a substation and all the cabling associated with that, these projects die simply because they're just being dramatic. Yeah, so I mean, your fear is certainly appreciated and understood. However, at this stage of the game, I don't know if it's warranted.
So, but why don't we do what Jeff just said? Do the industrial thing tonight, let's say, and then wait a month or so until the Melvin does the application. That door is, and they're in, and then we can just kind of take a look at everything after that.
And then put it on until
we have
the club committee take a look at it.
I would like that.
So, Al, what we're talking about doing immediately is to call a public hearing to change the law with regard to solar and industrial zones, period.
No, wouldn't we be calling a public hearing for a moratorium on?
No, I thought that's what I'm getting. That's what I want to get straight. I thought we were just talking about if we say can't do it in the industrial zone for now, that's the end of it.
But no, I think we're saying right now they're discussing. I don't think they're in interest right now. They're not in favor of that happening, and they want to take a closer look at it.
No, with the industrial zones. The industrial zones, after talking about it, I mean, I think we got to do something with that.
If you guys want to do a local law, set a public hearing for a local law, it's literally one word in section 320-86.2A, you literally have to add a shall only be permitted.
That saves Melvin.
Yeah.
It also gives us, this is not forever. You put the shell, and if we decide with the club we want to change everything, we can still do that.
Right. And picking up on what, Bob, you just said before, I'm ready to do it. I mean, I can see we don't want to screw up the industrial sites for solar because it's a waste of that land. But is there some little thing that we're not thinking about, like supposing some industrial plant wants to go in and they want to put a solar panel things on their roof, and are they precluded from doing that?
No, under the freestanding under section
that's
3,
not a commercial solar.
Okay.
Yes, under 320,
they can do that.
86.
Because that's just for their own use.
Yeah, solar farms.
That's a different definition.
Solar farms are selling.
Yes.
Yeah, they got every right to do that.
But I'm an innovative business person. And I'm going to have a really big roof, and I don't really need all that solar. But besides making yogurt, I'm going to sell I'm going to sell this power to National Grid. I'm just being silly.
No, you're 100% correct.
But then the difference is you're putting it in your building, which is
right
there.
But you can sell the excess, but you're putting it in the building.
Okay.
That would be a business that's already providing jobs, and they're not taking up space. That for some other business, they'd already be a business.
As long as there's
right, but what Bob is saying is we want to make sure that they have that ability, is what he's saying.
Oh, yeah. And I think what Al was saying, that they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And Jack as well.
3286D2, the criteria of where you can put free, so they can do ground-mounted panels on an industrial site, but they can't exceed the lot coverage requirements for the industrial site. And they can't exceed the area of the building that's on the site. So they're treated as an accessory structure. So the area of the solar field can't be larger than the area of the building. Right. But they can do it. And they can add solar panels to the roof and then all of the other amenities.
And if they can't make it larger than the building, economically, not feasible.
If
they want to sell it.
If you had a 10-acre building, theoretically, yes, it's maybe, but it's
not.
So
we have a choice tonight to do that and be done with it, or do a moratorium and think about it a little bit longer. And if you guys are convinced that there's really no place we're going to, my God, we didn't think of that, Like, supposing I wanted to put a solar panel over my entire employee parking lot, and you're telling, that's not going to be allowed. But why not?
If it's for the site.
No, I'm selling yogurt, but I also want to sell power. And I'm.
Oh yeah, you can absolutely. You can still do that. You could, like, if you wanted to put a roof over your entire employee parking lot and cover it with solar panels.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Oh, you can.
You could, because as long as it doesn't exceed the size
of the building.
Of the building.
Of what building?
The primary structure on the site, the yogurt plant.
Yogurt plant and
square
parking.
Square footage of the yogurt plant.
Yes, as long as it doesn't exceed the square footage of the... So if you had a 160,000 square foot yogurt plant, you couldn't have any more than 160,000 square feet of solar panel.
If you don't see us getting into trouble with this, then I'll vote in favor of this tonight. I'm fine.
Because all we're looking to do is set up a public hearing.
Yeah, it's all
right, because we have to change a law, so we can't.
Yeah.
I mean, we could.
I'm fine.
The planning board could still say, yeah, you can do it, but.
Yeah, if they went,
I just don't want to.
Site use permit,
I just don't want to put the planning board in a position where they disapprove something. And then we got to defend ourselves from Article 78.
No, right. No, we don't want to do that.
And I think this suggested language will prevent that from happening and clean this up. If we want to look at it as part of the comprehensive land use plan and say, hey, maybe this industrial site that doesn't have a good usable area or isn't serviced by sewers or something like that, maybe this site we could just.
But you'll have time to look at
it.
You can always change it later on.
Yes, you can always change it later.
Yeah. So but you've got to do the moratorium, because just changing that word, only.
Shall only be allowed.
Well, that's the solar code.
Correct.
You still have the inconsistency with the
industrial.
Still there. That's what brought you to the table in the beginning, was the.
No, I think what Tony said, when Tony interpreted that, if we say that commercial solar shall only be allowed here and here, it really takes
away
the industrial. It takes
so
the industrial out.
So it does override.
Yeah.
Yeah, only because we're changing it. Solar came into existence. Solar came into existence, and we wrote the law to say
okay.
This is the only place it can go.
Because the attorney that advised us on the writing of the original solar law, his position was that language right there says the same thing. It says.
Right.
You know,
I think you
shall
got
be approved for Bob means that's the only
right.
place.
Well, that's the thing. We don't say shall.
So
that's the problem. Was we say solar farms and solar power plants shall be permitted in agricultural area 40.
Okay.
We don't.
If you're comfortable that solves it, then good.
Yeah, I think that solves it. I think we say shall only be permitted. So we add that only.
That's what we thought we were doing.
And I think it takes
the. Well, we can work on the.
I
mean, Tony can work on the language,
yep.
But
yeah.
For tonight, we want to set up a public hearing.
Yeah,
now.
It's all right.
Okay.
You have a
to change.
I mean, yeah.
For,
all right. Hold on.
And
but,
you can even do it for the second meeting in November. So the resolution is to
yeah,
call a public hearing to amend. Give me the numbers.
Amend Lysander Town Codes section. 320-86.2.
Are you giving that to me? Because I'm not to that point yet.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Let me know if you're right.
So, resolution to have a public hearing.
Right. To
yep.
amend the town code section
320-86.2.
Yep.
To read the following. Solar farms and solar power plants.
Hold on. Solar farms and solar what?
Power plants.
Yep.
Shall only be permitted in the agricultural and AR 40 districts. As an electric generating.
Hold on. Shall only be permitted in
the agricultural and AR 40 zoning districts.
We can do the final wording as long as you got the public hearing call to amend. We're okay.
All right, and I just, to get back to Jack's point, and I'll just make an analogy. If we said in a law that you can build widgets in place A, B, and C, and some person came in and said, hey, I want to build widgets in place D, you look at the law and it says, no, it says A, B, and C. It doesn't have to say only A, B, and C. It just tells you that's where you can do it. Right, Jack? And you don't have to say only A, B, and C because it clearly states A, but B, and
this
C.
This would certainly clarify.
What I was just saying, right. And I wouldn't be...
But Jack, I'm just, like, the whole discussion about what the attorney told you before, I mean, that's, to me, that it's crystal clear because it tells you where you can do it. Someone comes in and they're not in that place, then the answer is no, you're not in that place.
So I'm going to put it to you this way. Tim Fateski, the planning board attorney, is very good on this land use and planning work. He's kind of he's the guru locally on this one.
Well, and I'm not an attorney, so I would definitely go with that.
If he has a concern that some clarification needs to be made, and I think Tony would agree with this, if he has a concern that there's some clarification that needs to be made,
we should do it.
Right. And if it's one word, that's right.
You don't have attorney.
If you've got to add one word, I get it. But
just for the record, it was Tim Fateski who approved that original language. He was my attorney. The confusion is in the town code is created by the town code in the industrial section.
Okay.
There was no confusion on the solar law.
Well, I mean, we're gonna see things that we should. We should be reviewing these things all the time to see if there's any need to amend them or change them or whatever. They should be reviewed, you know, yearly. But let me read this, see if this is okay. Resolution to have a public hearing to amend Town Code 320-86.2 to read the following: solar farms and solar power plants shall only be permitted in the agricultural and AR40 zoning districts. Is that it? Okay.
Yep.
All right, so that'll be
item. And I think that's enough to clear it up. I think that's adequate.
Okay.
And we'll certainly run that by Tim Fateski. And make sure that he thinks that's
right,
the way to handle it. And I think he will. But yeah, we'll certainly get his.
Then you know, moving forward, when we do the club, you know, let's look at that hard, because like I said, I've been getting a lot of emails. I mean, they're coming in one or two a week. Now, you know, hey, we looked at your zoning and your codes, and we're thinking about putting solar in. And lately, they've been a lot.
How long will it take you to change the law? What is it, two meetings now?
No. If they set it for the next meeting, the 19th,
we can do the public hearing
and adopt the law the same night.
That's good, because you could get a letter of intent next week from one of these guys in the industrial zone. So the faster, the better.
Then I will reach out to the two companies that have approached me and say, hey, the town board's looked at this. They're going to pass a local law that prohibits it. Mm-hmm. I would suggest that you don't go any further.
Right.
Yep.
And the other thing that, just so that the board is aware, these projects are getting approved by the OSIDA for tax purposes. I don't know how many more they're going to do, because they're putting a lot of money into these projects, and there's no jobs going.
Right.
So I don't know how many more they want to keep doing solar, but that's another.
Well, they can keep doing them, just not here.
Right. Right.
You know, we don't need, you know, like I said, pretty soon it'll be, you know, Lysander instead of green, it'll be black.
Right.
You know, with a lot of reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Let's see, what's the other thing?
Planning board.
Oh, planning board size.
Yeah.
So you're trying to get a bigger kingdom?
Yeah, like a double, please. I had a conversation with Bob a few weeks ago about this. We have an opportunity at the end of this year to take a look at the idea of taking the planning board from 7 members to 5 members. The planning board in Lysander was always a 5-member board. It was, I believe, 2011.
12.
Was it 12? Yep. 2012, when the current board decided to expand it to 7. We have 2 vacancies coming up at the end of December. This would be the perfect opportunity for the town board to consider going back to a 5-person board. The 5 members who will remain on the board would be Bill Lester, Steve D'Arcangelo,
Hugh Kimble.
Hugh Kimble, Pete Wall, and myself. That's really the core of the board.
No, Keith is the one that comes
on. Not Keith, though.
Jesus.
Having a senior Mormon.
That's okay. I can't spit out his name right now either. And he's a resident of Radisson.
Yeah.
He's on the Radisson board. And I'm drawing a blank.
Anyway, but the 2 members who would leave are both residents of Radisson. That would leave us with 2 Radisson members on the board. We've got some 40-some-odd years of experience on those 5 members who would remain on the planning board. And I just think, obviously, it would reduce our operating costs a little. But I just think it's a good opportunity to look at that, the town board to look at that. I believe Al and I have looked into this, and I believe it only requires a resolution at your organization meeting. There's no law or anything. It was in the, when it was done in 2012, it was just a resolution by the board to do it.
I'm so happy to hear you propose that. I mean, I have been thinking about that for so long, but I didn't feel it was appropriate to come from me or the board, but coming from the planning board. Just for the benefit of the folks in this room, what happened in 2012, there was no rhyme or reason for it. It was just done. And so what Jack is saying, the planning board has worked very well with a 5-member board for the longest of times.
The one thing that the board could consider would be appointing an alternate.
I was just going to say that.
Because you
only have an alternate
member.
Now?
With
7 members, you don't necessarily need an alternate,
right.
But with a 5-member board, having an alternate
is
a little more important.
So
you can appoint 1 alternate or 2
right.
alternate members to fill in the event that there's a conflict of interest or an absence.
Do you want to put that together? I like the ideas of alternates, if you want to put that together, and we'll...
I mean, basically, it's a simple resolution that you guys draft that just says the town board hereby resolves that the planning board return to a 5-member board.
So can we get something from the planning board saying that
right.
that's your recommendation?
Yeah.
Sure.
And if you have some suggestions on who could be alternates.
When you go,
typically we ask for resumes and an interview.
Yeah, so that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that when the organizational meeting comes, last year I didn't have a chance to think about it because it happened that night. So I was up here like a knucklehead, going through it. But I'd like to be able to take a look at it at least, and then see who the names are, and so we could because we would have to appoint them. That night, I think, right? To the planning board?
Well, the alternates you could appoint just about any time.
Oh, you can appoint them.
As long as your resolution...
Well, their name would have to be on the... there'd have to be... when their names have to be on the organizational...
Yeah, for the 5, but what I'm saying...
Oh, I see. Later on, you could always add them. I got you.
The
and they're already there.
Yeah, terms are already... I got you.
Wouldn't you also want to combine the planning and zoning board together, though?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think you can.
You can, it's a bad move. It can lead to all sorts of conflicts.
No, I mean, you don't want the same people. You don't want the planning board to say no to a project and then go to the ZBA and have the same people sitting there looking at it.
ZBA is like an appellate
very well. It's from a legal standpoint, I think it can lead to all sorts of conflicts.
And it doesn't matter to me. I'm just curious, like, why alternates are needed, though. I mean, we don't have alternates on the town board. So, I mean, if you have a five-member board.
That's not my idea.
The only problem with not having alternates, if you have a five-member board and you need a majority, and two people are sick that night, you can't do anything.
Well, the same is true for the town board, though.
Well, you need a majority.
Three
is a majority.
Oh, yeah, you're right, three.
Three is a quorum.
I guess the way I would look at it.
Aren't there some times where you need a super majority, though?
So there, you're overriding a county
60%.
If you're overriding a county.
Right, so you would need more than three.
Yeah.
But we can, you can schedule meetings in such a way that you can always assure you have a membership. We have the flexibility to move our meeting time, just like we're doing this month. We're meeting on November 30th because we had a conflict up here.
I don't think
it would arise, I really don't.
Yeah, if you don't think that you need it, then again, you can write that up, give it to us, and we'll take a look at it.
All right.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, I would just add one more thing, just for clarification. I don't think that the names that we, it shouldn't matter who's currently on it, Bill Lester, Jack Corey. That if we can work with a five-person board, then we can work with a five-person board, regardless of
who they are.
The names are going to come out of the
organization. I only...
Well, yeah, right, and I understand that, but the way it was presented, I just want to... If it can work as a five-person board, it can work as a five-person board.
I only gave the names for people who might not know everybody who was there. But I understand. Our names are never listed on the organization meetings. You don't reappoint those members. They're 7-year terms.
Now they go to a five-year term.
The only name that appears in the organization chart is the appointment of the chairman. Each year you have to appoint, reappoint that chairman.
Okay.
Open. Great.
Okay. That's all I got here.
I'll get that to you then.
Okay.
Just because we got plenty of time. It won't occur until January organization.
Which will go so much quicker than and we're all willing to admit, right?
So on the other change or addition I made on the at the suggestion of Mr. Raleigh, our comptroller, was in item C, where we're talking about the Ford truck. So he said we should add and authorize the trade-in of the 2020 Parks truck as part of the agreement.
Oh, yes.
That wasn't in there, so you know that. That'll give me the authorization to take care of that. Okay. Anything else? Anybody got anything else? Yeah. All right. Well, we'll close the.
Unless we wanted to discuss that one item.
What's that?
Those roads.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, go ahead and fill them in with that.
We submitted the resolutions for those two roads, the Giddings Trail and Longo Way, to the DOT, and they did not get added to our inventory list when we got our inventory list from the DOT this year. So I called the regional DOT representative that does the inventory list. They changed the criteria of what they'll accept for resolutions accepting dedication. You now have to state the street name, the length of the street, in the beginning and ending points. So in the past, we've only done the street name and the length. So you'll see in resolution I, we added the beginning and ending lengths. Uh-huh. And in resolution L, we added the beginning and ending lengths. And in resolution J, we only, those roads have never appeared on our Kramer Road appears, but the length isn't correct. Cole Road has never been on our road inventory list. So the only way that we can get them added to our road inventory list so we get CHIPS funding for them is with a town board resolution.
I couldn't remember.
Okay.
And what's
Pete, he asked me that. I couldn't remember.
That's all right. That's all right.
H is, so we're rescinding the old resolution that ended the beginning and ending the point and adding a...
I wouldn't be doing my job. And
no.
At
the beginning and ending point of the next resolution.
I just couldn't remember.
Same thing with K. It's okay. We're rescinding the resolution that didn't include the beginning and ending point and adopting a resolution that includes the beginning and ending point.
So do we have to do this with a lot more roads?
No, these are the only ones right now that haven't been accepted.
Okay.
So, but going forward, when we adopt new roads, we have to add the third column that includes the beginning and ending point.
So
didn't
we
have one at our last meeting too?
Yeah,
didn't we have one recently?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Where we didn't have the length, we were only getting half of it or something, half of the chips. One. There was something.
Yeah, there was something. Yes. Yeah, there was something.
Yeah, we were only getting half.
The calculation was wrong on it.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes. So we're just trying to clean this stuff up so that we get what we're doing.
Okay, yeah. I'm good with that. Thank you for clarifying that out.
All right. So,
Mr. Supervisor.
Yeah.
Item B.
D.
B.
B.
B as in boy.
Okay.
Just so that it's correct, you might want to add the purchase of one 2021 Western Star with a 2020 Henderson plow.
2021.
That's
already on there.
That'll match the resolution.
There's no year on it.
In front of the Western Star.
Right.
Oh, 2021 Western Star?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you want to add.
And the Henderson plows are
2021. Okay, so.
2020 for the Henderson plow.
Oh, 2020 is on the Henderson plow?
Yes.
And 2021 Western Star?
Correct.
Okay.
Boy.
We got it right on the resolution,
Tom. Yeah. I got it. So I'll add that. All right. So it'll read to authorize the issuance and sale of serial bonds for the purchase of one 2021 Western Star 4700 dump truck with a 2020 Henderson plow. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. We'll close the work session at 6:50. We got 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Mask on, I gotta get the head.
Yeah.
Don't ignore the deals. Yeah, I get it. I didn't know.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea at all.
I love doing what I do.
Tim's not sure on something. Tim wouldn't say he's not sure.
Well, he's not. I think he's not sure.
I'm not sure what I can find.